Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and this is a program about the awakening of consciousness, about who we are becoming as multidimensional beings. And that means we are aware that we are more than just physical presence. We have a higher nature. We're connected to the cosmos. And tonight's guest is very much about that awakening. She has dedicated her life to the awakening of human consciousness, and she does it through her art form, through her voice, through her singing and songs, and her group participation in her events. I'm talking tonight to Karen Seva. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you so much, Alan. Thank you for having me.
I love talking to people who are so present and aware about who they are and what is happening at this time in history. What's your process in coming to this awakening?
Well, I think as for all of us, it's been a lifelong process. And it feels like we're in the midst of a pretty massive shift in the transformation of human consciousness. And there are very strong energies that are flooding the planet right now. What's available for human beings to come to, both spiritually speaking, emotionally, mentally, just our capacity and our capabilities as divine human beings are being activated in ways that haven't ever been activated before. You know, we're coming up to the year mark after December 21st, 2012, where the Mayan prophecies were saying that there was, you know, the end of the one great time cycle. So we've merged into another space, a space where the prophecies really were for heaven on earth, for this mass awakening of human consciousness. Many experts say that, you know, the shift is gradual over maybe the next 17 years or so, but so many of us are here now and we're laying the groundwork. And I mean, beings have been here through time immemorial, laying the groundwork for this.
So what do you think, where do you think it's all going? I know, I mean, December 21st, 2012 was a huge moment for me because I anticipated it since I met Jose Aguayas in 1986. And of course, in 87, there was a harmonic convergence which set a 25-year countdown until that moment when history really shifted. And I think it really did shift. So what did you notice after December 21st, 2012? And where do you think we're going?
Well, on December 21st, 2012, I was in a ceremony, in a shamanic ceremony, and I witnessed the alignment of the planets with the center of the galaxy. And it was just such a beautiful celebration. And this has been a time that we've been waiting for and waiting for on this planet. From that time, what I saw birthed was the emergence of the divine feminine and a return of the divine feminine energy into this earth plane. Thousands and thousands of years ago, the divine feminine primarily was the force here. That was the force of nature. I mean, there's evidence now in, you know, Easter Island and so many other places. We find stone carvings. We find evidence of this matriarchy, of this worship of the divine mother. And then along the line, the patriarchy came, the energy of the divine masculine, which also brought with it in its skewed and, you know, maybe in a way when it wasn't held so sacred, we get the world as we see it now with the individualism, with the strength of will. But I see it all in this divine continuum. So first there is the energy of the mother, the holding energy, the creative energy, the birthing energy. Then there's the energy of the masculine, which is the will, which is the directive creative force. So throughout history, we've had the ability to feel into these energies and also learn how to operate and harness them. So with the end of that era, which ended on December 21st, 2012, we step into the new era, which is the era of union, which is the union of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. So what's happening now is the reemergence of the divine feminine, the reemergence of these wisdom teachings, and the reemergence of the direct access to the spiritual worlds. Because what we have, what we read in books, what we see maybe on TV, if we talk to certain people, we have an awareness that there is something spiritual in the world. But we've kind of been disconnected from the true essence. And the time is now for us to remember our connection to source energy, to the essence of who we are, and to come together in this union of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And that is on an individual level and on a collective level. It doesn't mean men and women, although those relationships will reflect this union that we find within ourselves, within our hearts. So we are reclaiming a tremendous amount of our power right now, and we're learning how to operate within this power. We're learning how to create a container of integrity in our own being so that we can hold this power. Because this awakening, it's almost like, you know, people talk about the awakening, but we didn't have any context in which to understand what this would really mean. And with each day, with each moment, more of the awakening is made available to us, so we start to see more of the picture. So we really, at this point in time, maybe, I don't think very many of us even know what is going to happen, because it's really dependent on the choices that we make in our own unfoldment.
I don't think we do know what's going to happen. All we can do is take one foot and place it in front of the other and live in integrity and in union and in connection, and then the future is an unknown, that's why it's the future, will unfold in more harmony and coherence than the past. And, you know, what you said about the union of the divine masculine with the divine feminine is, I think, what the Native Americans said, a bird can't fly with one wing, and we need both wings to fly. And we, you know, the divine matriarchy was great, and then the divine patriarchy was not so great, but it also gave us a lot of the technologies that went along the masculine way of being. So we need to, exactly what you said, combine the compassion and love along with this advanced society that we create, and so there can be abundance for all. And love for all, and energy, and I think the currency of the new age is creativity. I think it's our passion and our expression to be who we really are, because at our core, we came here to create. We came here, as a teacher I had said, to make known the unknown, and the unknown is the divine force as it manifests through us, to give us more feeling, to open us up to greater and greater sensitivity. And that's what music and art and play and writing and movies are all here to further establish the feeling sense of the human being. So I say this is the time of the flowering of humanity.
Absolutely.
And that's how I see the work you're doing and everything you're saying and the people we're all collecting around us to bring us into a new vision. The great dreams have yet to be dreamed. That's what I feel, you know?
And I feel, in a sense, the great dreams have been dreamt, and now we're having the gift of being able to realize them. And, you know, we are birthing the creative expression, the dream that we've held in our heart for perhaps time immemorial, but also it's an evolutionary process. So as we evolve with one part of the dream, we get to see a bigger piece of the picture, and then we just continue to expand. And the message I got about the currency of this new age is, you know, connected with that creativity, but it's the energy of giving. And the current state of our world, of our economic system, of our political system, of our societal system has been birthed out of a concept of what can I get? How much can I take? How much can I make off of this? What's my bottom line? And we live in a world that's more than just what we see with our physical senses. And the Native people were very in touch with the seen world, the physical world, as well as the unseen world, the spirit world. And they understood that in order to bring something into manifestation in the physical world, it was necessary to make an offering to the spirit world. And what we've done over the last several hundred years is we've figured out how to take, without honoring the spirit world, without honoring the unseen, and without giving anything back, which has created a huge deficit. We see that with what we've done to our planet, with what we've done to our environment, with what we've done to each other and ourselves and our emotional lives. And so the new paradigm, what's being called for, is the currency of giving. And giving aligns us with universal law, which is what we give, we receive, what we sow, we reap. So as we give to one another, as we give to the world, by universal law, we will receive and we will be supplied with the very things that we give. So the solution and the system that I was shown was that if we identify all our points of need, we need transportation, shelter, food, clothing, love. If we could identify all the things that we need, and if we give that to others, by universal law, we will be supplied. So we have a house, we have a roof over our head, we invite people to stay with us, we have a car, we make sure that we're giving people rides places, we make sure that we're feeding people, we make sure that we're giving our love and sharing our energy. And when we step into this model of giving, so then every question is, what can I give? Kind of like what JFK said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Well, this is what universal law is asking. And it's a funny thing that happens, because you know, so many people suffer from depression and all kinds of physical and mental illness and disease. And so in the midst of that depression, they're looking for something to fill in the hole. They're trying to take it in, but they just can't take it in. When funny enough, the solution is to switch the energy flow and to give. As soon as we flow that energy out from us, it creates a vacuum that pulls energy in. So we're creating the cycle, we're creating the flow, and that's what everybody is missing. And from a very early age in this society, in this culture, we become socialized to need external energy forces. We need TV, we need attention, we need validation, we need recognition, we need whatever it is, another person. But the truth is, we come in directly connected to source. And the children that are being born on the planet at this time, they are very connected to source energy. And since we come in with that connection, our job now in the process of awakening is helping people purge. We're actually in the midst of a gigantic cosmic purge right now, planetary purge right now. That's why so much chaos is happening.
What
so
we're, actually, we're purging the old system.
We're purging the old system. We're purging the old energies. And we're purging that so that we can once again come into the reconnection with our source energy.
So you're saying it's looking like economic meltdown. Probably environmental stuff is a part of that purge because the earth needs to purge all the toxins we've accumulated onto it. It looks
yes,
like
but the beauty, yes, absolutely. And the beautiful
of society.
Yes, but the beautiful thing is as we purge, as we get rid of, love is filtering in. And, you know, we had talked just a few minutes ago about what's coming for the future. And the truth of the future is we make the future at every moment with every choice, with the choices of our words, our thoughts, our actions. And when we choose to make choices in alignment with the highest and best and the highest potentiality for ourselves and all beings, we radically shift the fabric of and the foundation of society. And the work that I do is called Sing the World Awake. And I got the message loud and clear about maybe 6 months ago that when people come together and we get into our bodies and we get into our hearts and we sing and we dance, we're activating our connection to source. We're activating our connection to joy. And Sing the World Awake is about coming together with music and movement and sacred sound, indigenous songs, mudras, and everybody singing. We sing overlapping harmonies, different vocal parts, and we're invoking the awakening of human consciousness. We're invoking the union of the divine feminine, the divine masculine. We're invoking peace. We're invoking healings of the waters. We're invoking beauty and love and harmony for all beings and the return to balance.
Well, one thing I want to say is, like we talked about purging, I think that is really a key aspect of this awakening of consciousness, because each one of us has to go into our own personal history and see what we're still holding on to, see what resentments, what anger, what sadness, what incomplete part of ourselves and maybe our childhood that's still lingering in our consciousness. And we need to look at those pieces of ourselves and realize it's time to let all that go. And I think that's the individual work that people are, in a sense, being forced to do one way or the other. Either you're
yes.
doing it in a relationship that's not working out, or some aspect of their lives that they want to move forward in. So the energy of this purging is up in our collective field. It's like infiltrated the morphogenetic resonance of the human field. And all of us now, in some way, are looking at these issues and making our way through this tunnel, because we're not in the light yet, but the light is shining at the end of this tunnel, and it's moving us towards, pulling us towards it, as we're being stripped away of all the heaviness that is clinging to our bodies, our light bodies. Mm. And it's quite an intense process for a lot of people, as you can see.
It is quite an intense process. And a vision I had years ago was that the awakening happens in a tier system. So one tier awakens, and then that makes it possible for the next tier to awaken. And then that tier awakens and makes it possible for the next tier, and so on and so forth. But the thing that really, really struck me as I started to tap in more and more and be schooled in this movement is that we are doing it. There are beings in the physical world, in the seen and the unseen, who are flowing energy, flowing love constantly. And by their actions, by their efforts, it enables others of us to even have this knowledge, for us even to have this conversation. And, you know, often we think in this process of awakening that's, you know, yes, it's a big galactic unfoldment, but it's completely orchestrated by beings that have made a choice to participate in this movement. So, you know,
and
so
that's
often
us. These beings,
that's us. That is us.
And all our friends that are here from all the many, many dimensions and levels of, yes, awakening are giving us symbols and keys. And I just interviewed someone last week about this near-death experience. People are coming back from the other side. All the dogmas that we've been brought up with and all the religious traditions are all, in a way, out of date. They're not truth. There might be some truth in some of them, but what we're coming into is a time of higher truth. So it's like that tier of that level that has gotten us to this place is now being, in a way, dismantled, so we can all stand on a new level and raise ourselves up. So as far as your message and how you're bringing it through in your work, I'm interested in how, and I hope you share some of your song, how the process of the creativity of the inspiration flows through you, how your message is guiding you and how it comes to you.
I think it's come out of, you know, the process of awakening is unique to everyone. And in the Caro tradition, Caro, it's spelled Q apostrophe E-R-O, they're ancestors of the Inca. They are from Peru, the Andes Mountains. And they teach that access to the spiritual worlds is gained through the heart. I mean, many traditions teach this. The Sufis, the heart is the bridge between heaven and earth. So the awakening process for me was very much using the modalities that resonated with me, which were different shamanic practices, meditation, Kabbalah, Kundalini yoga, Nam yoga. It started out as this little twinge of something in my heart. And then my heart just kind of got blasted open. And I experienced love in a way I had never experienced before. And with such an intensity of love, I just followed it. I said, well, you know, this is what is true. So I left my old life with, you know, catastrophic effects it had. And I pursued this love. And for me, much of the awakening was, you know, this like explosion, like a supernova of brightness and beauty, which then completely annihilated me and everything that I thought I was. And through the work, it's showed me that love is the only way, that everything can be balanced by love. Love is the great karmic balancer. No matter what the condition or circumstance, if we hold love, we can make it through. And by following this love, and I did a series of initiations that were gifted from a tradition of Caro people called the Munai Ki. There's 9 initiations. And I've done a lot of shamanic work. there's just been extensive things that I've done. But what I realized is whatever we do, it's not about the thing, but it's about the intention that we bring to it. So each morning I began praying. I started sun gazing. I began really honoring the earth and surrendering my destroyed life. Instead of finding any kind of resentment, I saw that it was a gift. It was a gift for me to be free, and I chose to give everything to God and surrender my life to be of service. And even my deepest heartache, I saw it as my wound through my heart where the light could come in, and I offered that to be my payment to the spiritual worlds to do this work. And I always felt called for the awakening of human consciousness, but I had absolutely no idea what that meant. You know, that's a little roundabout way.
Well, no, that's beautiful, and I appreciate you being so open about your life and your transformation. And I know it can tear people apart and families and relationships and just have people spin out in a whole new direction they never suspected. So you never suspected any of this stuff, or you had an idea but you didn't have the experience? Is that what was happening with you? Or
I think the awakening begins so beautifully. It's like ourself telling us to go down this road. And we go down this road. My friend was saying the other day, you know, what does it mean to follow your heart? And, you know, because people often say, you know, just follow your heart, it'll be beautiful. Well, my awareness of what follow your heart means is that you're opening to more and you'll allow yourself to become more, but it doesn't mean that's going to be easy. And I think so many of us, we want maximum growth. We want maximum awakening. We want heaven on earth. And it's nice. This conversation is nice. These concepts are nice. But what it means on a day-to-day basis is every moment, am I living in love? Every moment, am I living in integrity? Am I giving with my time and my energy? Am I observing my attachments? Am I surrendering? Am I using each moment to grow? Am I using each moment to love more and to serve more?
Well, what if you're not? What if someone gets you upset, gets you mad? What, I mean, that's okay.
Of course, of course. But since we're creating our reality with every moment, every choice we make puts a choice point into the collective consciousness. So every realization I have, every awareness I have, every point of growth I have gets deposited in the collective consciousness and is then available to every single person on this planet. So I take tremendous amount of responsibility for my choices, realizing that if I stay risen, if I stay in a higher vibrational state, I can actually be literally pulling somebody out of the gutter. If I choose to give in to my anger, if I choose to give in to my sadness, I mean, we all have stuff. If I choose to give in to my despair, that could be adding that much more weight to somebody who is right on the tipping point.
And what do you do with it when it comes up? If anger,
I give it to God. I give it to God. That means the sadness. Somebody once told me, like, the moment before tears contains so much energy. Like, a moment of desire contains so much energy. In that moment, if we can offer it up, however we do, just surrender it. You know, lift up our arms and, you know, I surrender this. We are helped by the seen and the unseen in ways that we can't even imagine. And our conscious choice transcends all desire. So no matter how much we're struggling with something, be it an addiction, be it a difficult relationship, be it anger, be it a huge karmic pattern, if we make the conscious choice to choose love, to choose the highest potentiality for all beings, and we cling to that choice, everything rushes to our aid. Absolutely everything.
If someone pisses us off, instead of you reacting, you say, I'm going to give this reaction to God. Is that what you say?
Yeah, I give the reaction to God. And I choose to love that person because I realize that that person is love in the bottom line. And maybe this is part of their cosmic purge. And if I can hold space for them in this moment and not myself react to the reaction, but I hold space and hold steady in the energy of love, it helps them to move through it faster.
I mean, I think it's okay to have a human reaction. It's just what we do with that reaction. Do we strike out or do we keep it and feel it and process it? I think we have to feel it and then maybe give it to God, but I don't think we can not feel what we're feeling.
And absolutely. And, you know, this is These are more, this is like a question of kind of semantics or like the how-to manual of the whole thing. When, the key points are our intention guides our path. And if we make the intention for the awakening, like each morning when I wake up, I ask to be aligned with the highest potentiality for myself and all beings. And so, yeah, of course, stuff is going to come up. We're in human bodies, and a lot is being transmuted, not only for ourselves, but for the collective consciousness. And we transmute for the collective consciousness. Each one of us does. So if we're making that intention to be aligned with the highest potentiality for all beings and to be in love, then everything corresponds to our intention. So that no matter what, yeah, okay, we'll fall down. Yeah, okay, we'll get angry. It doesn't matter. Just our intention. Just keep coming back to our intention.
Well, what I think is even higher than intention, and that's like a really, it is a high state, but when we tap into our gift, what we're here to give humanity, that's when the divine really flows through us. And in a sense, it's not about intention, it's about getting out of the way and merging with that force. And it's in that creative flow. And I saw that in you when you were singing your song. I said, wow. This is where the divine is flowing through this woman, and she is giving her gifts for other people to be uplifted. And that's
Well,
what we're.
yes, that's what we're here for. And thank you so much for saying that, Alan. I appreciate it. And I think what you're talking about is the next step. It starts with setting our intention, because there's so many people out there that don't know where to go from here. They haven't found their heart's calling. So it starts with our intention, and then as we're really committed to our intention, then it opens up what our highest calling is. As we're able then to surrender our desires, as we purge out all that stuff that's truly not us, then we come into who we are as divinely human beings, who we are as divine beings who have chosen to incarnate in this particular body at this particular time with these particular gifts. Then that allows us to express that creative flow, just like you're saying. And for me, it's through music. And also, I've been a singer since before I could talk. But it's only been in the exposure to so many of these shamanic traditions where they sing their healing. And then also my awareness and my teaching of the collective consciousness that I started to realize that all of this is about everybody. So in the musical work that I do that you experienced, we have everybody sing. And that connects everybody's energetic field, because we've also entered the age of universal consciousness, where it's no longer about individualism. It's no longer about one person, fighting to make it. It's about all of us coming together and doing it together. And when we join our intentions, when we join our hearts, when we join our prayers, we enter into that one resonant morphogenic field. And we become like a satellite dish broadcasting throughout the entire etheric field of creation. And
That is what our gift is here for, because then
yes.
we are doing the work of spirit in form. But we really
Yes.
can only do it in form, and this is why
Yes.
we incarnated, to bring spirit to earth, to bring heaven to earth, really. And that's
Yes, yes.
the time
And
we're
that's
moving into now, is heaven on earth. And it happens only in the present moment. And I think that's what a lot of us are also learning, that we can't live in indulging in the past or even hoping for the future. But when the creative flow, that's what's so beautiful about accessing the creative flow, it happens very present time, and it happens as in a space of timelessness. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. That's what happens to me in creative moments that I tap into. And when I sing in other people, it brings that timeless moment in as well.
Absolutely. And as you're speaking, it's reminding me of the Celestine Prophecy. And I read the book years ago, and I recently watched the movie a couple times. And I was so blown away, because that is my experience of reality. Now,
What is your experience of reality? Describe it in
this Celestine Prophecy,
what
because
specifically?
there are 11 insights. I think there's 12 insights now or something. But it's all about a spiritual awakening that's occurring in human culture. And it's about a shift in human consciousness. And it's about the giving of energy. and learning that the kind of interplay we've had on the planet has been about energy and harnessing energy, thinking that we're cut off from the source of energy, and coming into realizing that we are directly connected to source, but we realize this experientially. And in connection with realizing that we're connected to source energy, we're giving energy to others. So actually our job on this planet is to constantly be flowing energy to others. Because when we flow energy to others, they flow energy to us, it's amplified exponentially. And that's right. When we start to raise our vibration and we get into these higher fields, and that's bringing heaven on earth. Heaven is a vibrational state that exists right here and right now. And as we...
Yeah, what I do remember about the Celestine prophecy is that if we don't give energy, people take energy. They suck energy, and that's the old way, and that's what people have been in those kind of relationships where I take energy from you, you take energy from me, because there's no giving and no free flow, and people were unconscious about that because they were so desperate for love and for nurturing.
Right. And it comes out of a false sense that we're separate and we're cut off from source energy. And, you know, there's perhaps, you know, some things in there about, you know, control factors and things keeping us cut off. But truly, any problem is not solved at the level of the problem. Solutions can only be found when we can transcend that. When we move into
Einstein
love.
Einstein said that, but yeah.
Perhaps.
No, he did say that. You can't find the answer by the level the problem was created. I mean, that's a famous Einstein quote, but I'm glad you came up with it too.
No, that I was quoting somebody. I just didn't know who it was.
It's Einstein.
Thank you. And, you know, the beauty of that realization is we don't need to fight against anything. We just need to flow more love. And as we flow love to each other, as we give, it shifts our perspective. Because when we shift our vibratory frequency, then our perspective shifts, and then we start to see things that we hadn't seen before. And the last insight is this, I think maybe it's the book, The 10th Insight. It talks about holding the vision. And in holding the vision, the story is about this kind of apocalyptic world, and then a group of people that have this vision for like a paradise, for a utopia. And by the strength of their collective vision, they're able to shift the apocalyptic scenarios. And that's very much what I feel is our potentiality right now. As we come together, as we focus our prayers in love, as we focus our prayers in the healing of the planet, the healing of the waters, the coming together of humanity, we are shifting in the collective field the possibilities that are laid down ahead of us for the course of human history. So with every choice, with every action, with every breath, we have the capability to transform our future.
And we are. I think every breath we're saying, every intention people of awakening and consciousness put out there, it is transforming the future. And it's transforming it into something I think we have yet to know. Because if we knew it, it wouldn't be the future. I think it's something huge is about to make its revelation. And I could sense it and taste it, but I think it's bigger than anything we can imagine at this level of our consciousness.
And yes.
We're moving into it. It reminds me of, like, you know, 100 years ago, people would have no idea what a cell phone is.
Right.
It's like that. This thing, whatever it is that we are preparing and making the way for, is as huge as some great advanced technology, which is making its revelation here. But it's not about technology. Of course, it's about a spiritual revelation that is uplifting us to really a new heaven and a new earth. And I think this is what you're singing about. I think you're singing in the future.
That's such a beautiful way to look at it.
So why don't you sing a little? I mean, if you care to, like, because I also love the sound of your voice. I think it's a really, it comes from a very deep place. It's like I said, you get out of the way and you allow spirit to sing through you. And I'd like to hear some of that if you want to share.
Certainly. Well, a lot of the music I do, as you experienced, is everybody singing. So it's having people come together. I give everybody something to sing and then we all sing together. But this is one that I sing by myself. I play the piano and sing it, and it's called Wake Up. And so I guess I'll sing a little bit of it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. Do you want to play the piano or no?
I think with this call, I'll just do it this way.
All right.
For the next in-studio filming, then we can then we can play some music.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay, I'm ready. Let me just get a little relaxed and take it all in. And I encourage people listening to just sit back and let the words and sound and voice just move through them in peace.
Thank you. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Oh, children, you have been asleep and lost down the road of your own dreams. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, wake up. You dreamt you were alone, and you were far from your home. But you are safe, you are loved, and you are here. So wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. And look at the sky, and look at the moon, and look at the water. It's you, and look at yourself, and look at the stars. It's you, you are the wind floating by. It's you, it's you, it's you. It's you, it's you, it's you. So wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, and you're welcome. Thank you so much.
I feel the vibration. I was feeling the vibration accelerating in my chest when you were singing. And I'm just wondering where you go when you're singing these songs. Like, what's your... are you disappearing and let something come through you? What's going on?
It's interesting. In the summer, I did a sweat lodge. I love sweat lodge in the Lakota tradition. And as I went into the sweat lodge, I went in to pray first for others. It was in support of a vision quest. And as I went into the sweat lodge, I surrendered any idea I had about what I needed to be doing. And at one point, in the midst of the heat, in the midst of the rocks and the water and the fire, I'm seeing all my desires. And I was looking at them, and I was kind of bored by them at this point. So I just let them go. And then when I let them go, I was flooded by universal will, by divine will. And it rocked me to my core. and I realized that nothing was more beautiful than the expression of the divine. And I surrendered myself completely to be of service to that energy flowing through me. And so when I sing, that just is what comes. And my own devotion, my own love that enables that to come through my heart.
There is something about singing which has always been access to the divine. And so I thank you, though, for sharing that soul resonance with us and your experience, because now that you found that connection and you're sharing with others, it is waking other people up to their connection.
And that's the whole point. It's like a domino effect. We wake up, and then we, by our own shining our light and flowing our creative flow, it enables it. Anybody that hears us, they come into that resonance and that joy, and they remember who they are. And then they shine. You know, it's like people talk about plagiarism and, you know, stealing other people's words and things like that. But I feel like the highest compliment you can pay in this movement of awakening is if somebody tells you an idea and then you turn around and you tell it to somebody else as though it's your own. You know, if somebody hears this conversation we're having and goes and tells their friend, you know what I know? I know we have to give to each other. I know we have to love each other. I know that's the way. I know our intention is the way
That's not, I don't think, plagiarism. That's people's own soul resonating with the truth of what they hear.
That's right. So that's the highest compliment that can be paid, that contagious joy that spills over. So it's not about any one person. It's about it catalyzes our own awareness of our own magnificence. Because when we know how magnificent we are and how loved we are, there's no problem. And then we can give love to everyone. Then we can share all that we have because we know there's only an abundance.
It reminds me of that Rumi poem about the guy who lost his camel. And someone who didn't even know he had a camel says he lost his camel too because he sees all the excitement of what it is to be. And then Rumi says, then he sees his own camel standing there, the one he didn't even know he lost. And he's like a thief, he says, that's crept into a home and found out it was his own house. And this is the excitement of finding a spiritual connection. And those that don't even know they have a connection but are interested in some aspect of finding something, then will move and find out who they really are. Even the spirit they didn't even know they had
will
start to shine through them and will wake them up. So this is an amazing time of planetary awakening where we're all finding our soul pieces.
Yes, we're reclaiming. And I just want to say, this is the age of the great restoration. Because our power is being restored to us, our connection to our divinity. What did you think I was going to say?
Restaurant, the great restaurant.
Well, you know, in a sense, it is like a restaurant, kind of. You know,
it's restoring to us, but we're also going to a new level. I think we're going to a level humanity has yet to experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to get there, the gateway is having our power restored to us, though, first. So once again, we can connect with our soul's dream and our heart's dream. We can connect with that higher vibrational state, which shows us the way, which is our guiding post. So then once we have that access to ourselves, then it's, you know, it makes it much easier. That's the energy that we're then bringing down to the earth plane.
I mean, the power is that I think in this moment, in the lifetimes that most of us had, we have experienced everything there is to experience, rich and poor, king, slave, queen, all the extremes and everything in between have been part of our soul's experience. Now there's nothing left to experience on that realm of human drama except going to the next level of divine incarnation. Mm. And this is the next adventure for the soul to have in this world that's, I think, moving out of the third and fourth dimension. Some people say it's the fifth dimension, and I call it that because it's the time for a sensitivity to spiritual values that haven't been here before. And this is that is what the awakening is about, and it's an amazing time to watch people wake up. I mean, you've woken up to something, and you found your soul's calling, and all you can do is want to share it, right?
Absolutely. I wish I could sing all day.
You should.
And I do to myself. And yeah, I just welcome this. I mean, people, a very good friend of mine, he had a vision years ago of everybody singing and dancing in the streets, this celebration at the end of time. And that's the vision I have too. Another friend of mine just had a dream recently where we're all sitting around in a circle oming and everybody's singing and we have a different relationship with music. And, you know, it's been challenging as a singer because the way the Western world approaches music is in terms of entertainment and performance. And I never felt that I resonated with that. And it wasn't until delving into the shamanic traditions and learning the power, the healing power of sound, that I realized, oh, this is what music is all about. We each have a song in our heart. And literally, this world is like a giant chorus. We're a giant choir. And the divine is waiting for us to step into our voice, waiting for us to join in its song so that we can be magnified, so that we can be as magnificent as possible. And it takes every single one of us.
You know, yes, there's a channel that I see named Paul Selleck, and his guides say we're here to sing our song. And they talk a lot about, I'll introduce you to these channel beings, and they say that is it. We're here to sing our song. They would love you. Mm. And we're here to sing our song, however that shows up. And what can we do? What if for people who really want to tap into this, I would say for them to start meditating and go within. What would you suggest for people who don't have their calling yet?
Listen to their heart. A great meditation to do is breathing, you know, sit quietly, light a candle, breathe in love into their heart, and breathe out love. And sometimes in order to get into that space, maybe think of a loved one, think of, you know, whatever brings you to conjure that feeling of love. And once you have it, just breathe the love in and out of your heart. And that's a really beautiful way for a heart opening. Also, you know, there's so many people. If you find a teacher or a life coach that you resonate with, part of what I do with Sing the World Awake is I see life coaching clients. We have group calls. Right now I'm teaching a class on heaven on earth and embodying the principles of the Celestine Prophecy. You know, also we have our events, Sing the World Awake. You can find us on Facebook and also singtheworldawake.com.
When are you doing your next event?
Well, we may go to LA in about a week and a half, but we don't really.
Where will you be? Will you be singing in LA?
At Nam Yoga.
Oh.
Still just working out some of the details.
Okay. Well, if you sing at Nam Yoga, actually, I know another yoga place maybe you can perform at in LA.
Wonderful.
Rama.
And you know, this is also part of it. It's we all help each other. You know, and another way for people to connect with this energy is to give to others. You know, give of
what?
Our energy. Give of our energy. Give of our love. You know, if you see a piece of paper on the street, you know, pick it up. If we realize that we start to realize that we're responsible for our environment. We give to our environment. We give care. We give love. You know, offer to babysit for somebody, for a single mother, you know, who has kids. Just, you know, if we go out of our way to show random acts of kindness, that's a tremendous way to re-access our power. I mean, how good does it feel when we do something completely unprovoked, when we just give out of the pure goodness of our heart? That's a tremendous way to activate this paradigm.
It is, and I think that's the new currency. Like you said, it's the currency of giving, and that is such a drastic paradigm shift. I mean, it dismantles corporate America. It changes everything. It creates an abundant world
yes.
for everybody that feels like they deserve something, because everybody does deserve the same thing. It's
yes.
Common. We become a collective. I mean, really, the words of John Lennon, Imagine, really says it all, doesn't it?
Yes.
Do you ever sing that song?
We're singing it, and I was in a sweat lodge on Sunday, and we were just singing it. You know, also there's a lot of beautiful native communities. They do beautiful ceremony work with song, and sweat lodge is a really beautiful way to reconnect with yourself as a spiritual being.
Let me know when you do another sweat lodge. I love sweat lodges.
Fantastic. There's actually going to be one down in Red Bank, New Jersey, December 29th, I think. They're in the area all the time. But, you know, that's another way for people to connect. Our native practices, you know, they're really connected to the earth. And I'll just share this, you know, this final thing, but the native people, the indigenous people to this country and to many other nations, they have lived in this awareness of the collective. You know, the tradition for sweat lodge is when you enter the sweat lodge, you cannot pray for yourself, you must pray for others. Their whole community is based on the fact that it's always about giving. And the reason that they've been subject to so much oppression is when you have a people entirely structured on giving come into a people who are entirely structured on taking, the takers just completely stripped and robbed the indigenous people of everything they had. But the indigenous people still had held firm to their belief and their knowing that this is the truth. And now we're returning. No, this is the Hopi prophecy. This isn't the 11th hour. This is the hour. And we're here, we're returning, we're coming back to these truths. They've held this knowledge and they've caretaken this knowledge for so long. And now it's our responsibility to give to them, to flow them energy and love so that they can be healed of the transgressions that we've made against them.
And I think it's time to move on. I mean, yes, there's been atrocities in every civilization. It's been awful, awful. You know, the 20th century saw, 200 million people killed in wars. And
you know, the best way to move on is just by giving love, not by honoring the atrocities, but to recognize things. If we help each other.
I know the Native Americans have suffered, and I know it's been awful.
I'm just saying, focus on love. Focus on the beauty of each individual. And give. So many people are suffering. And if we can give love unconditionally, that just heals everything. So then it's not about a story. We have no stories. In the age of love,
it's about letting go of the timelines that have gone in those loops of human suffering and accessing this new, I call it a timeline of possibilities that we're moving.
It's a timeline of possibilities, and so many of these events are so closely tied to so many people's hearts. And often when people hear, we just have to let go of it, you know, even we're still involved with it, and then it creates kind of a push-pull.
You can't let go of it until you're ready to let go of it. I mean,
if we focus on love, then we don't have to focus on letting go of anything. Focusing on love births the now into a beautiful array of possibility and healing and potential. So then nobody has a story, past or future. There's only the now. And the only way forward is for us to be in the now.
It's a process.
But it's about love, and it's about being in the now.
As long as they choose to need it.
Yes, but we don't need to tell anybody. We don't need to tell anybody what to do or who to be. We just need to love them.
I was just going to say, I was thinking about this last lifetime I think I had. Who knows? But in this concentration camp, and it wasn't fun. And I was just seeing, well, that those experiences on a soul level have gotten me to appreciate so much more of the world. And that is a story, but it's also a connection to something, whatever it is, that I can let go of because I have integrated that and realized that there's so much more coming.
And thank you for that, because that reminds me of a song I heard earlier by Knock O'Bear and Medicine for the People, So Thankful. And one of the lines,
Can you sing it?
I don't know it. I just heard it briefly. But So Thankful. So one of the lines in there is, Knock O'Bear says, If it wasn't for rape, I wouldn't be here. So I'm so thankful for rape. I'm so thankful.
What does that mean, he wouldn't be here?
I think that he was conceived from the rape of his mother.
Oh.
And he said, so thankful. Whether he was talking about himself personally, I don't know, or if he was just giving voice to that perspective. You know, and when we can look at everything and be so thankful, and when we don't judge the situations and we just choose gratitude, when we can find the gem in even the darkest situation, that transforms it. Our perception transforms our reality. And the more we choose love, the more it shifts our perception.
But it is a process. I don't think people can come to thankfulness right off. They need to integrate the experience. They need to feel it, mourn it.
And it's everybody's individual.
Right,
right now could be the activation. You know, somebody might get it in a snap. Somebody, it might take a long time. You know, all we do is we sit here and we love and we allow our creative expression and we encourage people to come into that too. And we hold them for as long as they need to be held.
Well, I do think the time that we're coming into is an acceleration of those old processes where maybe it would have taken 10 or 20 years to come to
Absolutely.
Realization. We're accelerating that now. I mean, I know many people who have like a 20-year relationship in 2 days, you know? They're
right, absolutely, absolutely.
And accelerate. So the time of acceleration, especially through the emotional body, which is taking us out of the old densities, because it's the emotions that really trap us into that victimized human realm, and we're seeing that we can rise above that. And I think that's the new realities we're moving
yes.
into.
Yes, and it's interesting because that's part of the purge as well. Because we're pulled in so many different directions and our emotions are key in that. You know, we might get attached to a certain emotional bandwidth. It could be the emotion of despair or hatred or anger. And it just keeps coming up. It keeps coming up. I mean, Eckhart Tolle, he's brilliant in his depiction of the pain body. Also, Dr. Joseph Michael Levery talks about the body of pain. And we have this body that is fed by certain frequencies of energy. And as we feed those frequencies of energy, we just, you know, we might have a reaction. We don't even know why we're reacting, but it's that pain body. And this is part of the, right now we're purging out our pain body. So, you know, not
we're being
giving
assisted over. By the vibration of the earth to do
completely.
That.
And we can assist each other by choosing to be in love. And
right. But we can't, but the thing that I just want to say is that you can't overlook it. You can't say, oh, it'll go away. And if it's still present, we have to deal with it. And
it's our conscious choice, absolutely.
Until it does go away. You can love it away, but if it's still present, there's a processing, and that's what we're here for each other to share and help each other with, that processing.
Absolutely.
So, just to wrap up, I mean, can you sing one more song? Do you have one more?
I could sing one more song.
Yeah, I'd love that if you care
okay.
to.
Sure. And then I'll have to step off after that. It's been
okay.
such a pleasure.
Yes, fun.
Let's see. This song I wrote a couple years ago, and I had no idea what was coming. This was before I stepped out of my old life. And it's one that really resonates with me now. So,
was it like calling you to a new life, the song?
It was born out of a lot of sadness.
Okay.
And then the awakening of a new earth.
Nice.
So here it is. It's called Edge of the Dawn. I stood on the edge of the dawn, and I cried at the life that was gone. And I flew faster than light, past the confusion of night, to the clear ocean, to that spellbinding place where peace does erase each lie with its grace. And the eagle does soar on the soft thermal breeze, high aloft above the trees, and I'm on bended knees. And I quake with the earth, and I roll with the waves, and I pound with the surf, and I yell from my grave. I am free, I am free, I am free, and so close I can hear your tender heartbeat, and your fears and your fears. And the all you can be, scratching to to get out. And I trembling walk to the door of your heart, to the door of your heart. And I rock and I cry, and I beat on my drums of the mountains, the plains, and the big deep ocean. And you hear it in truth, creeps out bit by bit, out that door in your heart, out the door that you hid. And I see you emerge, and I remember it's true that all that I am is all you are too. And we dance and rejoice on the loftiest high, and we sing in the oneness of all that's gone by, of all that rings true, of all true that is waiting to emerge, be revealed and be purged. I open, you open, and peace is then birthed. The heavens are undone, and they flood this new earth. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alan. It's been such a pleasure.
Yes, this has been. I'm talking to Karen Seva. No,
Seva.
Seva, as in the Indian word for service, right?
Yes.
A compassionate,
yes.
Devotional service.
Yes.
That is a great name. Thank you. Do you have a website?
I have things on several places. There's KarenSeva.com, which is life coaching services. There's Seva Music on YouTube. I have some videos there. And SevaMusic.bandcamp.com has lots of music you can download for free. Seva on Facebook. Divine Love Vibration is my blog. Sing the World Awake is our music program. So thank you. Thank you so much, Alan.
Okay. Well, thank you. We'll be in touch. Let me know when you're in the city again. We'll meet, and I'll let you know if there's some event that you can participate in, okay?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Blessings, Alan, and blessings, okay. Everyone who's listening.
Thank you. I'll let you know where this is going to be posted.
And fantastic.
That was the beautiful sound and voice and inspiration of Karen Seva. Seva meaning service, divine service. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. Email me at newrealities.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks to BBS Radio and all the people that make this show possible. Good night.